The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we honor you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for yet another opportunity to fellowship around your word. Change us, transform us, make us into new persons. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be here this evening? Amen. So what do you do before you sit down now? Get a neighbor and just say something nice to them. Something warm. Something welcoming. Something warm and welcoming to them. Yes, yes, yes. You can have your seat. It's a great day. And this is day what now? So you've been doing it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's even about to get more beautiful. God is changing us. It's making us better. It's making me better. Hallelujah. Yes. So let's see what we can cover today. Let's hope that we can tidy up early so that we can just have some moments, some minutes to pray today. Well, let's see how it goes. Have you been getting blessed?
Yes, sir.
When you come into church, how confident are you that you'll be blessed in service? Hallelujah. Very confident that God is going to touch you. And that's why we come. Amen. So yesterday we continued our study on life and immortality. And it was such a moment yesterday. It was such. Did you think about the things we shared? Because those things are super amazing. You know, we can't have all of these in our lives. And then we still live like every other person. We can't have all these deposits of God. And I was thinking about this afternoon. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 3. Paul told them, because they envy and they work in strife. He said, for you are yet kind of for whereas there is among you envy, strife, divisions. And I said, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So he was saying, you are not men, but you're walking as men. So in other words, Paul and the Bible expects us not to walk like ordinary people. Many of us live so ordinarily. What happens to others will happen to you. What is obtainable to others will be obtainable with you. If everybody is falling sick, you just fall sick. If everybody is losing the thing, you just lose your own. That's walking as men, mere men. That's not the plan of God. There is so much. God will not, you know, I was thinking about it. God would have put all of this in us for us to just exist like every other person. Talk like every other person. You see, for last week, we're looking at love work. We shouldn't act like every other person. Right? There should be a difference. We are talking about life that we shouldn't fall sick like every other person. Live like every other person. Act like every other person. Die like every other person. That's not my story. It's not my story. Give me Amplified Classic of this verse. Let me show you this. Amplified Classic. Hallelujah. We said, for you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses. And I wanted to show you that. Ordinary impulses. One of the ways you know, I'm going to get that. One of the ways you know people who are not yet, who have not learned this thing. They are sense ruled. They are ruled by their five senses. They know they are sick because their temperature says so. It's just about what they can see and what they can hear and what they can touch and what they can taste. That's how they determine what happens. They're just sense ruled. Ruled by the five senses. So when they see their account this way, they say, okay, I'm broke because that's what they can see. Are you following me now? When they check their health, they say, oh, I'm running temperature. I'm sick. Now, he said, for as long as there are envying, jealousy, wrangling, factions among you, are you not of the spirit and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard, like mere unchanged men. Human standard. Human standard. How it just applies to every other person. They say, oh, this period is malaria period. Or, and if you are AA, I'll be what genotype is that? They say, we always have malaria. If you are AA, so it's normal for you to have malaria. And we just think it's normal. So, what is now the difference between you that have the life of God, or that say you have it, and some other person who doesn't have it? What's now the difference? There should be a difference. And that's why we are looking at this, because I'm still going to emphasize this today. The first key thing in this journey of allowing this life of God change you is to know. You see, everything I touched last week, we're still going to look at them this week again. I want this thing to sink. Is to know. My little children, he says, okay, before I get to that, 1 John 5 verse 11, he said, this is right I unto you. Before that, he said, this is the record God has given us eternal life. This life is in his own. Verse 12, he said, he that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son had not life. Right? Now, verse 13, he said, these things, right, have I written unto you, that believe on the name of God, that you may know. So the first key thing God wants you to do is to know. He wants to bring you to a point of knowledge. A point where you are certain. Because that's where the journey begins. Every aspect of this God life we're going to touch, we'll still come back to this verse that you may know. Because that's the first thing. Because everything we can teach starts for you from a point of knowledge that you may know. There is something you will know, or that is how much you will know, and things that happen to us will start happening to you. It will just be totally different with you. This is the man of God who said he doesn't wake up sad. He has never, in the past how many days, he has never been sad. And before I began to think, is that possible? I said, well, that's possible. What he was just telling us is that he has leveraged on the joy of the Spirit in his heart. That you may know. Are you know what I'm talking about? That you may know. The difference between Mr. A and Mr. B is that Mr. A knows, Mr. B doesn't know. You know, there are a lot of people, you have to listen to me. There are a lot of people who are just so comfortable with living like men. I don't know why God is bringing me, maybe because I had a teaching in that light this evening. They just want to live like men. Like ordinary men. They just want to be at the level where they fall sick and pastor lays hands and they get healed and they testify. They fall sick again and pastor says, you are healed, and they get healed and they fall sick again. Say, oh, my back is now fine. My leg is now paining me. Just the regular everybody's life. But Paul, John is saying, I want you to know. Because if it's not important, he will not want us to know. It's important that you know. That's where your journey starts from. The quality of, when you see two Christians, the quality of life they have and they live is a function of what they know. Now, don't hear what I didn't say. It's not a function of what they've heard, but what they know, because you can hear things and still not know it. There are many things we've heard, but we don't know. And it's not hard to see whether you know, whether you don't know. When you look at the quality of life, you can tell if you know or if you don't know. Yes. If you look at the quality of what is happening around you, you can tell whether you know or you don't know. It's not hard to say, Lord, I know that I know. I promise you, I know. If you know, we'll see. Are you following me? Which is why it's important again that you invest in knowledge. Invest in knowledge. Invest, you know, the life of God in us can, it can change anything. But it starts with knowing. You know, I should tell this story with you guys. A woman of God, you know, but when they got married newly, I've shared this story many times here. She was very sick. Church members didn't even know that she was sick. But she had this sickness that, I don't know what, I forgot what she called it. But then, she can just sit down on her seat like this and be in the pool of her own blood. She was hemorrhaging every day. Are you getting the point? So she couldn't conceive. She couldn't take him. And that went on and on and on for a very long time. 2-3 years, doctor said, you can't conceive. But then one of those days, like I've shared the story, one of those days she just, you know, that's why it's good that when you want to get married, you marry a man that can lead in the fear of the Lord. The husband just said, but she was complaining one of those days again. So the man just came down from where he was and came down with two books. Two Kenneth E. Hagin books. And gave it to her. I was like, if you like, stay there and be complaining. Just threw the thing at her. She said she was crying. The man just gave her the books. Say, if you like, we can then complain. If you like, don't take your destiny. You know that kind of, I don't care kind of talk. Said it and went up and started sleeping. She said the thing pained her. Not only that he was sleeping, he was snoring. He said, how can you be snoring in that kind of situation? But the man was trying to point out to something. You either reach out and take hold of the life of God inside of you, or keep complaining. She picked those materials and began to read them. Because she stayed there, she cried to a point, and the Holy Spirit told her, why not read it? I get to the point. She read those books many times. Until it got to a point, she was still sick. She still didn't have a child. But she said she was feeling like she was already a mother. The thing took over. Said they would go to the hospital, they would check her, and they would say, oh, it's still what it is. But she wasn't, somehow what the doctors were saying was no longer affecting her. She's a mother of two, I'll be three now. Yes. Because that life of God has the capacity to change you. But you have to know what is happening. You have to know that it is there. And you have to know what it is there to do. Many don't even know. You know, many people think that we just receive this life just for us to speak in tongues. Shambara, shambara, and that's all. It's there to change you. It's there so that when you take hold of it and you live your life, there will be a clear cut difference between you and every other person. So John said that you may know. That you may know. That you may come to the knowledge. And that's why we teach. I'm teaching that you may know that life is working in you. That God has put that his immortal life in your life. And if you allow it, it will transform you. Were you here yesterday? It will transform your mortal body. It can wake a dead body. It can wake up dead cells. It can wake up dead cells. Why do we know it will do that? It is that same life that will wake you up. Even if you die and you've been dead for 100 years, when the trumpet shall sound, that same life is going to put your body together. If it can put a decayed body together, why can't it put your life together now? Hallelujah. He can put you together. He can put you together. He can put you together. I have the life of God in me. Glory to God. Because someone is asking, you know, I was trying to answer that yesterday. Oh, but if all of this they are saying is true, why do I know some Christians that die sick? I know some Christians that are this. That's the truth. There are Christians who are not yet taking hold of this thing that we have. We saw that example yesterday. Obed Edom. Ark stayed in his house for 3 months. He became a rich man. Another man had the ark in his house for 20 years. We saw it yesterday, right? And nothing changed about him. So the problem wasn't with the ark. This life can transform you. Can change everything. Hallelujah. Let's see. So your eternal life, your spirit man, or eternal life in your spirit, is like your immune system. So that is something, that is an immunity you have. And you have to learn how to let it dominate your mind and dominate your body. You have to learn how to let it. So that's why you read places like Proverbs 18 verse 14. It says, it's the strong spirit of a man. Give me that verse on the screen. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Give me like Amplified and other things. So if a man's spirit is strong, it says the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. He said, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up? So when a man is strong, in the spirit, no matter what is happening on the outside, he will still be standing. Are you following what I'm saying? You must learn how to let that life of God that is locked up in your spirit man to gain dominion and then allow it to affect every aspect of your life. And that's the plan of God for you. That's why Isaiah 33:24 so is they said that it shall come to pass in that city, nobody shall ever say, I'm sick. Isaiah 33:24, nobody shall say, I am sick. So, in other words, if I relate this to healing, God is not expecting that the believer will always stand on a healing line. God is expecting the believer to actually enjoy divine health. Preservation. Are you following me now? Preservation. Preservation. You shall drink deadly things. It shall not hurt you. Why? Because the life of God is in you. You shall drink deadly things. Do I begin to look for deadly things to drink? No. But if by any means I drink deadly things, it will not hurt me. Say if by any means. Mean it. Say if by any means. I drink anything deadly. It will not hurt me. I know you don't believe it now. But let's say it again. If by any means. I drink anything. Poisonous. It will not hurt me. Do you believe that? Okay. Try it again. If by chance. I drink anything. Poisonous. That can kill. It will not hurt me. Bible said, if you take up serpents with your hand, it will not hurt you. Do you believe that one? Have anybody ever been delivered from such things? Maybe you touched serpent or scorpion. Has it ever happened to you? And it didn't bite you. You ran away. Okay, it's not ran away. There is such miracle. He said, he told them you will trample upon serpents and scorpions. That's Luke 10. He said, behold, I give unto you power to trample upon serpents. And it's not figurative. It's practical. Serpent and scorpion can step on it. Why? The life of God. You know, I told you Adam in the garden did not actually have the life of God and all of that, right? But there were serpents there in the garden. There were scorpions. Why didn't he bite him? Why didn't they hurt him? Huh? Noah carried all animals, wild and everything, into the ark. They stayed inside that ark for days. He didn't hurt them. Have you ever thought about that? What do you think was Daniel's confidence that when they took him to the Daniel, the same thing? Noah lived with some animals, wild animals, inside an ark for months, for weeks. No one was hurt. The Lord is my safety. There is something in you that prevents you from being hurt from the outside. They entered fire, they hurt. So you can actually be sure that it will not hurt you. That's why when you hear such, I'm going to get to that. So please sit down. When you hear such testimonies, right? I'd like you not to begin to argue. These are your realities. The life of God will prevent that from happening. You see Noah, you see Daniel, these guys are not even people in the New Testament. But they had those testimonies. The Bible said those things happened to them as examples unto us. To show us what should be the lot of every Christian. Because now the life of God is working in you. You are not supposed, that's why, you know, what I found out is this. And why I'm going through this, because by tomorrow or next, or maybe next, tomorrow or next, I'll start addressing the issue of death and long life. But why I'm going from all this sickness, divine health talk, is because death does not function on its own. Right? Death doesn't function on its own. Something kills someone. People either die by gun or by sickness. Do you get what I'm saying? Something kills people. For 97% of deaths on earth, something killed a person. So if God has made us immune to those things that can kill, that means he is shifting death from us. Imagine you get it, become immune to sickness. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because sicknesses kill people. Amen. What else kills people? Accidents. What else? Gunshots. What else? Wild animals. All of these things. There is a life in you that resists. That's why that snake beat Paul. He didn't enter his body. The life of God. I get the point. Paul was on the high sea and it was terrible. Yeah, nothing happened to him. You need to realize this. No matter what happens to you on the outside, if you insist using the knowledge of the life of God you have, that you will not be hurt, you will not be hurt. Don't forget what I'm saying. If you insist, do you know, that's why people read the Bible and they argue. And I don't blame them when they argue because it doesn't make any sense. Jonah stayed in the belly of the fish for 3 days and did not die. Digestion didn't take place. He was talking. Does it make any sense? It doesn't. But it happened. How do you know it happened? Even Jesus referred to it. Are you guys following me this evening? So what is it they knew? That you can be in there and all the whatever that is meant to act, what I just talk, all the enzymes and what are those things, will not act on you. After 3 days, he came out. Jonah was so sure that God will preserve him. That's why he told those guys to throw him into the water. You know, he was on an accident to do it. You know, imagine, I thought you would be begging them, please, now. He said, throw me in. Because if you don't throw me in, all of you will die. So throw me in. I know I'm not going to die. What confidence for a prophet that was running from God's assignment. He was still sure that if you throw him in, he will survive. Are you following me? The reason was simply because there was a covenant they had with God. That's a sort of they had a covenant with God, Israel as a nation. So they knew things were meant to be different with them. We also in a covenant with we are not actually in a covenant with God, actually. But as a covenant we are under. But we're not in a covenant with God. Do you understand it? Do you? Let me explain it to you. Israel entered a covenant with God, with Jehovah. And they had their own part of the bargain to keep. And that's why every time they broke those laws, everything that was meant to happen, that was not meant to happen, began to happen. Watch, Israel will never lose a battle unless they disobey the Lord. Israel will never be sick unless they disobey the Lord. Every time something bad happened to Israel in the Bible, every time they went into captivity, they sinned against the Lord because they were walking out of a covenant. So when Jesus came, we are in a covenant with God, but not like that, not like Israel. The covenant we are under now, it was Jesus that entered that covenant on our behalf. He's the one keeping it. I've thought on this many, many times. He's the one keeping the covenant. That's why the Bible calls him our mediator. What is mediator? What it means is, you know, when they say the whole human race is about to enter a covenant, they are meant to, like for instance, Israel entered a covenant with God. Who represented the covenant? Abraham was the representation of the covenant. Now, who represented us in the old covenant? Christ. He's the mediator. He's the one that stood for the human race. Are you following me at all, friends? And so that's why they knew they were in a covenant. We were in a covenant too. That cannot be broken. Their own could be broken. Ours cannot be broken. And that life of God is working in us. That covenant is what brought this life in us. We are preserved if we can know what is working, actually. So there is something in your spirit that makes it impossible for your body to suffer. Except you allow it. So you need to know this. You need to feed on this truth. That's why there are a couple of scriptures I will keep showing you. You have to take them. Some of them, sleep with them. Wake up with them. Think about them. I give you some of them. Exodus 23, we saw them yesterday. Verse 25. You need to know this truth. And you shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And will take sickness away from the midst of thee. This is God speaking. If you can feed on these realities, what you are doing is that you are leaning in to take hold of that life that is your spirit. Are you getting what I'm talking about now? Next verse. He said, that's the person. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren. So nobody has a right to be barren. Nobody. Not under this covenant. Not when you're carrying the life of God. That life will revitalize your womb, revitalize your organs, bring everything in shape. He said, the number of thy days I will fulfill.
Do you know the amazing thing about this verse? Give me like NLT. The amazing thing about this verse is that he's not just talking. He's not just talking about human beings. He said even their animals will not have miscarriages. That covenant covered the animals. He said there will be no miscarriages of infertility. Give me a prayer classic in your land. Okay. Well, there's another verse, but not this verse. None shall lose her young by miscarriage or be barren in your land. None. So, you need a child. It shouldn't be a big deal. You have the child you want. When you want it. In the order that you want it. That's why it should not be strange to people that a Christian gave birth at 40, at 50. It shouldn't be strange. At 60, it shouldn't be strange. There is the life of God working. It shouldn't be strange. One of the things that happened after this meeting is that you start thinking differently. Because sometimes people say, are you serious? It shouldn't actually be a shock to anybody. Someone that is already carrying immortality in his spirit, what will be strange? Nothing should be a surprise. Immortality that can wake up a dead man after many years. Do you know when the trumpet shall sound, even Paul will wake up? Let me tell you, even Moses, them, all of them will wake up. This is bodies that have been down for thousands of years. We come together and get up. Immortality will wake them up. And you're saying the womb has been there for 60 years that she can. What are you talking about? He can wake it up. And carry the baby comfortably. That's why many Christian ladies have to hear this. Well, that's one of the things that is sponsoring a lot of people walking out of the will of God because they're afraid. Say, you need to marry now. Because if you don't marry, menopause is coming. Menopause, if you now enter menopause, see, let me tell you. God will give you a husband, though. Where you want the husband. But if it's, the person is not God's will for you, don't let that fear. Mm-mm. You will have a baby when you want to have a baby. Elizabeth needed a baby. She got the baby when she wanted the baby. And I believe what I'm saying with all my heart. I've never seen any couple and I believe they cannot give birth. Since I got, unless I don't know what is happening. Since I learned the gospel. Since I began to see how much the love can wake up anything. Can wake up anything. In fact, this is when I pray for people to give birth. I always say, if you're standing in for somebody, you better indicate. If you didn't get to leave it. Better indicate to, before one 50-year-old mama, 70-year-old mama will come and say, I'm standing for my child, you will not talk. And not take, because it can wake anything up. He says, you pastors, you guys believe yourself too much. No, we don't. It's just the word of God. Just the word of God. Because once we set that anointing loose, he might not just move. Okay. You said everybody here. Yes, everybody here. Oh, yeah. Mama will now go back to Papa. You know, the life of God in us can work out anything. He said, there shall be none barren in the land. Divine health is working in me. Psalm 41 and verse 2. He says, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. The Lord will keep you alive. You know, these are things you should be saying to yourself. Do you know the problem? It was David talking. The Lord keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity and delivers them from their enemies. That's what the NLT said. NLT said he gives them prosperity. Yes. And rescues them from their enemies. So when he says the Lord will keep him alive, what it means is that no matter what has capacity to take life that hits the person, the Lord will keep him alive. I know what I'm talking about. So even if a person contacts disease, the Lord will keep him alive. There is a riot in town and they are breaking people's head. The Lord will keep him alive. Yes. So what am I saying this evening? You've got to, this is I'm giving you. You've got to feed on these things. That's what I'm trying to say. You've got to read these things until they enter you to know that things has to be different with me when it has to do with my health. There is God's preservation. Because I carry eternal life in me. 3 John verse 2, he said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. And be in health. And be in health. So God wants me to be in health. And he has made the supply to ensure that I'm in health. And that supply he made is that he put his life inside of me. You can handle these things I'm sharing this evening as this pastor is just preaching well, he's wishing us well. Or you can take it home and eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it to a point that it becomes your everyday reality. Your everyday reality. Because why you have to read these things and know them is because, you know, the challenge of life will come at all of us. Right? But you've got to know the word of God. But I could finish preaching this now and you get back tomorrow and you go to the hospital, they say, ah, your liver, this one. Chasanta said in his book, he said, the thing about it is that 60-something years ago, I was reading the book, the doctor said, I had less than 2 weeks to live. 60-something years ago. Are you following me? 60-something years after, he's telling us that they told him some time ago, he had 2 weeks to live. The life of God. But it has to take over you. It's not when you fall sick and I say, no, my belly, my head. You've got to know. Are you following me? Psalm 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not his benefits. Hallelujah. He now said, that's verse 3 now. He said, who healeth thy disease and forgives all your iniquities. You know, it's amazing that he put forgiveness and healing in the same sentence. Because the forgiver is the healer. If you believe, hear this, if you believe that God has forgiven your sins, you actually believe that he has healed you. Look at that, he has healed you. So if you believe he has forgiven, so do you know why? The same eternal life he put in you that made you a new creature, saved you from sin, is the same eternal life that restores your body to wholeness. So how come you're enjoying the benefit of forgiveness, but you're not enjoying the benefit of divine health? You chose what to enjoy. Verse 4. Who redeemed thy life from destruction? So destruction will be anything. Poison. Accident. It is certain. So people like me, we don't die by accident. Yes. I told you yesterday, the devil has no say as to how I leave this earth and when I leave this earth. Are you getting the point? If you want to die so much, get healed and then die if you want. Yes. He redeems you from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tenderness. Verse 5. He said he satisfies their mouth with good things. Now see what followed. So that. You know this statement is a lot in the Bible. You know what it means? That your youth is doing that thing. You know what it means? Think. You know, if you think the spiritual statement is your youth, yours, what does it mean that your youth is renewed like the eagles? What do you think it means? Literally. Give me an LT. Who says strength? Okay. Amplify Classic. Let me see if anyone did well. Amen. Do you know how eagles behave? Know the idea around eagles? An eagle, there's a time in the year that the eagle soars to a high mountain. And when he goes there, he sheds all his feathers and then stays up there and grows new feathers and comes out fresh. That's why an eagle is always looking very fresh. That's what the Bible is saying, that he renews your youth like the eagle. So the older you are getting, the younger you are becoming.
So that he's not, that's what we saw that situation yesterday.
Moses. He said he was 120 years and his eye was not dim. The older he was getting, in fact, I was reading about this guy today. I believe he should be dead now, but I won't be surprised if he's still alive. Because it was Kenneth Copeland talking about him, and he wrote that book like in 2007 or so. I was talking about in 2005, the guy was at like 108 or so. A preacher was still preaching. And the guy said the doctor told him that his heart is like that of a 35-year-old child. Yes. A man over 100. The doctor said your heart is still like a 35-year-old man. So they were interviewing him and asking him, what's your secret? He said, he just prays in tongues. He takes in the word of God. And these things are not strange. Your youth renewed like the eagle. That is not when you are 40, say old people sickness. Some of you are just in your 30s and your 20s. You are already saying, you know, I can't. Will you wake up from there? Get up. You are too young. Get up. Nka. That's not me. That's not me. I'm telling you what I believe. The life of God keeps me strong. The older, the stronger. Glory to God. Because the work we have to do here is much. Let me tell you something. You know the Bible said, precious in the eyes of the Lord is that of his saints. See, if you become careless to your life and die, God loves you in heaven. It's even better you die. The Bible said to die is better, is gain. So you can say, my boy, you came too early. Welcome. Have your seat. So, actually, God loses nothing, actually, if you die. You are the one that missed to fulfill your assignment. So, you better take hold. I got what I'm saying now. Like, be careless. Your youth renewed like the eagle. You see, Caleb, at 80, he told Joshua, I'm still strong now as I was when I was 40. Now, think about that. That is, 40 years after, he's saying, I'm still as strong. You didn't know what he was asking for. Because they were sharing lands, and there was a land, that was a part of the land that was promised him by Moses. And Joshua didn't want to give him that part of land because the Canaanites and some of these guys were still occupying that land. He told Joshua, don't worry, just give me the land. He said, not me, I'll take them out. At 80. Are you following me? Why won't he say that? Whereas Moses himself started his ministry at 80. That time Moses came to the burning bush, he was 80 years old. I get. All those going to Pharaoh, let my people go 80. All those who are kind of wilderness, 80 something, 90 something year old man. Strong. Are you following me? The older, the stronger. It shouldn't be the other way around. As you're getting old. That's actually what the Bible tells us. Remember, we were looking at that scripture some time ago. Right? The path of the just. Like a shining light. That's how it's meant to be. It should be that when you get married, saying when you get married, it should not be when you get married, the marriage is so sweet. Then around 10 years into the marriage, you will now become papemeka, mamemeka. It should be the more the merrier. The longer we go, the sweeter it gets. And that's how it's meant to be. Same with your life. That the more you spend your days on earth here, you know, let me tell you, it's good that you pray this prayer. Because you know, if you stay long on earth, the more you stay, the more money you will have. And you don't want to have that money where you no longer have strength to spend it. Like what I'm saying? That at 70, you're already saying, I can't do. Let me tell you, I've been enjoying this life for long. At 90, I will come to your center to preach. I'm telling you, stronger, preaching to you. Such that if you see me say I want to go before then, it will be my choice. So, okay, I'm done. I'm going. Bye-bye. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What
gives us boldness to talk like this. Why are we talking like this? Because there is something God put in us. That if we just learn how to cooperate with it, our youth renews like the eagle. What renews the eagle is inside the eagle, not outside. So what happens, he just goes up, sheds its feathers, and waits for the renewing. Then it comes out fresh. Hallelujah. You know, in that story I was reading, Jude Kenneth Copeland introduced that man in the meeting as rather than something. People there were like, who are they talking about? The man stood up and waved. They say it's not possible. He was too strong to be that age. He was too strong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible is Psalm 91. And that's a psalm that tells about how God will ensure that you are kept safe. I wish you can even take Psalm 91 and begin to eat it until it takes hold of you. Because look at the point. If you don't do what I'm saying, do you know the environment, the world is filled with death. What do I mean by that? Turn on your TV today. You hear that 100 people die down there. They kidnap somebody down there. Do you see all these things? There is fear everywhere. Open your Facebook. Somebody shot dead. All of this news. Let me even shock you. Half of them are not true. Do you know? Yes. So if it's not true, why is it all over the place? Satan is playing a game. Trying to feed you with these things. So somehow you're expecting death. Somehow you think, that's who we did. Anything can happen. Anything cannot happen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies, because there will be terror. But I'm not going to be afraid. Because you think that safety means there will be no terror. There will be terror. Divine health doesn't mean there will be no sickness. Sickness will come at you. But I will not be afraid of it. Hallelujah. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. 1,000 shall fall, hallelujah, by my side, and 10,000 by my right hand. But it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold the reward of the wicked. You know why? I've made the Lord my refuge. I've made the Most High my habitation. So no evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over me, to keep me in all my ways. They will bear me up in their hands. I will not dash my foot against a stone. Come on. I will not dash my foot against a stone. Even though there are stones all over the place, but it will not hurt me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I will tread upon the lion and adder. Think about that, because we were just reading a few minutes ago. Oh, she said, not the next time, scorpion. Look at what David is saying. Is that a tread upon lion and adder? The young lion and dragon. And you better don't doubt him, because he was keeping his father's sheep one day. And the lion came, he tore it into pieces. The bear came, he tore it into pieces. Goliath came, he tore him into pieces. So don't doubt him. He knows what he's saying. He's not empty talk. He has done it. And when you think, say, the young lion is not talking about a small lion. The young lion means a lion in his full life. Give me like NLT. Lion and adder. He said, you will trample upon lions and cobras. You will
crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. You've got to start seeing that some things can happen to you on the outside, but if you do not want to, it will not hurt you. There are a lot of examples like that. How often there was a woman, Mary Slessor, you know her, right? Fought with a lion in Nigeria here. The lion was coming after those days. She commanded the lion, turn back. He turned back. Real life story. In this our Nigeria. When you hear they came and stopped slave trade, or I'll be killing of twins, yes. Those traditions had their roots in diabolism, idolatry. So do you think of the number of demons they confronted to be able to convince an entire region to stop killing twins? You know, sometimes we look at Africa, we say, oh, they came to rip us off in Africa. I know they ripped us off, they carried things. But do you know what they confronted to stop the killing? Some of the twins here should start thinking. Because see, people that are twins, they say they want to go back to their roots. If we go back to our roots, we will not be alive. If we dare visit our roots, you are dead. Well, they will take your life. They will take your life. But some people came and stood and we stood. When Africa was really a dark continent. Dark. Think of wild animals. Think of everything. They stood. You know, let me even tell you. I don't know why I put it in my heart. I've always believed that all these diabolic things that they do is not powerful. We are the ones that repeat so much. And I'm trying to deliver you. Let me tell you this. Look at my analogy. This is not Bible. With all the charm that we are doing in Africa, white people came here with gun. No, you're not getting. You're not going to say. They also not said they were not spiritual. They also came with gun. Your babalawo, your chief priest, they took the idols with gun, with gragra. That's what they came. And they were not much. They just come and some try to resist them, but they failed with all their diabolic powers. Now, this is not now that native doctor used to go to club. It was then when native doctor was, you know what I'm saying now, where there were strong native doctors. Yet, with only gun. Not serious gun, no. You know now. Some of these fears, you just think that they did whatever and that it's going to. Stop being afraid. You will trample upon lions and cobras. Yes. So the life of God can stop you. So whenever I see lion, I should go and trample. Oh, yeah, go. You know why you shouldn't do that? Because you just go to trample when you see lion. You are trying it. You don't try the life of God. You should know it's there. It's not to go and say, let me test it. Let me see if it's. Let you see if his work is already out. Just know that it is working. Whenever it is needed, to show. Did I told you scorpion entered my body? I wasn't planning. Let me see if my body can resist scorpion. But it entered and it couldn't walk. It couldn't walk. We've had testimonies of people that were attacked with guns and they were not dead. Here in this place. And it doesn't mean when you see people shooting, you say, shoot me, you're not going to enter. No. You say, why didn't you say I was testing to see if it works? That means you know it's not working. You're testing. We don't test. We just know. Then if you give a deep thought, before I continue, you can remember some amazing things God has delivered you from. Do you remember any of them? Lift your hands in this place. Let's bless the Lord. Some amazing things, some sicknesses, some accidents that he delivered you from. And that's another proof to you that actually there is something working. You may not have known it as much as I'm trying to make you see now. But somehow God has been preserving you by what he has put upon your life. Just thank him. Lift your hands, listen, just bless him. Bless him in this place. Think of them, be specific. Remember the accidents, the sickness that some of you have already gotten. Doctor said, oh, this is going to happen. You are going to die. But somehow, somehow the preservation of God has been on you. He's been on you. Can we just bless him in this place? And bless the Lord. Just bless him. Bless the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord for he is faithful and he is. Bless the Lord. Just bless the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. Bless the Lord. Just bless the Lord. For he is faithful. Listen, in Jesus' name. Get a partner. Share one experience of God's mighty preservation that you've enjoyed in your life with a person. I just sense there's something God wants to do here. Some of you have gone under surgeries that they thought would have taken people's life. But the Lord preserved you and kept you safe. If you're following online, you can put it on the comment section. Oh yes, Mandala Bashandela Karabat. Do you remember now? Do you remember now? You can lift your hands and begin to bless him. Choir, help me. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Oh yes.
For his mercy endures forever. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He is faithful and he is
kind. Just bless the Lord.
Faithful, right?
He's been preserving you till now. Mandala kora de shada la basata. Think of all those times. How many of you have ever got a report from the doctor that did not play out as planned? Has that ever happened to you? Yeah. Let me see your hand if you're sure. Something. I'm just seeing some of you, and I remember when the doctor said this and that. But not because the doctor was wrong, but because your God is strong. By the way, we don't fight doctors. God is faithful. And that's to show you that He's actually working out something. He's working out something. He's working. I just sense a strong wave of thanksgiving. Please just bless Him. I don't want to. Some of you are just ayaya la korande la kushata la kaya. Mayandara kolam brade le kushata la basone la daragiana la maya. Mayan dukura de skoperende shinda la krombadia. Eshule disco, bredescu, bredescule, entri kushki prantiada, kadegoska, descomena, descomena, ebaradiso bese bandikusa penda la taya, erendo scomena, prendi skonde la bataya baya, kede bede kune mandia krabade, suzu bede kianda. He's faithful and He is kind. Just bless the Lord and bless the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He is faithful. When I once had an injury on my knee, on my leg, and they were second guessing whether I was going to be able to use the leg again. And then the Lord gave me a verse. It's strong. Now, it wasn't context or out of context. It just came strong in my spirit that day. None of his bones shall be broken. And I told it to the guy, to the doctor. I said, none of his bones shall be broken. He said, oh, wow, I know you're a church person. Amen, amen. But I'm just saying, I said, none of his bones shall be broken. You know, you can't make light of this thing we have. You can't make light of it. What else do we have? When you read the book of Psalm, what do you think is, you know, when you read, every time you read the book of Psalm, I want you to know who you are reading his story. You are reading the chronicles of a man that fought 60 something battles in his lifetime and did not sustain one injury from any of them. Even a scratch. You don't get the point. Battle is not war starts. Real time battle. 60 something, about 66 or so. In one lifetime. And not one injury. He will go and come back. He will go and come back. Unharmed, untouched. Sometimes with fewer soldiers. Sometimes fighting against three nations at the same time. Not one injury. That was the preservation of the Lord. That's why I said, we can't live life beggar, hoping that we will see tomorrow. Hoping we have to know. Hoping that, oh, I hope we'll see tomorrow. Who knows what tomorrow holds? So maybe by next year, people will just be dead. Not me. I didn't know many things during COVID, but I know I was going to see post-COVID. I was so sure about that one. I didn't know whether it was going to hit Nigeria hard or hit Nigeria slow, but I knew one thing. I was going to see post-COVID. I didn't have one doubt.
Somebody called me that brother and said, maybe this is how the world will end. I said, maybe your world. See, maybe your world. That's how your world is going to end. He said, are you insulting me? I said, I'm just saying what you said. I'm just saying what you said. He now got the memo. He said, God forbid, my world is not ending. I said, okay. I was so sure. That's why whether they come next year, you know, every year in this country have their own episode of misfortune. Every year. Either we get 1 year and there is a skyrocket in kidnapping. Everybody kidnapping, after that one subsides, there's now everything, they are bombing people. The next year they say herdsmen are killing people. There's always one episode, but no matter what is happening, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because I carry something that protects me. Something that keeps me going. No matter whatever hits from the outside, I'm kept safe. With the little exercise we just did, and some of you just observed that God has been preserving for a very long time. Just observed. So what is all this second guess? Who knows? If there's an accident, if you're involved in an accident, the first that should come to your mind is that you know you're coming out from this. That's the first thing. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to come out unharmed. Unharmed. I remember traveling one night from Owerri around Okigwe when that road was still very daring. Some of you know the story I'm talking about, our car. I came out. I was assisting. Because our little children sitting beside me. I was having carried them out of the window. No halt. And that's not because I'm a superhuman. Yes, I'm actually superhuman. Yeah. But it's not because I'm a man of God. It's because I am a believer. And I know how to engage that life in me. So, you know, David is one man. We think of preservation. Study David. David lived in one of the most dangerous times. Yes. Think of animals, think of battles that he had to fight. Every time you lived in dangerous times. You want to know his story, his secrets, go and read all his psalms. You see, that was the psalm that feels this period made me appreciate the man called David. For thou, O Lord, I shoot for me. You are like my glory. And he lift up my this. He will just be saying those things. And if you don't think words can keep anybody safe, go and check David. It was what he kept saying and writing that kept him safe. He will enter the battle and come, and nothing happened to him. There was no, the only battle David did not fight or did not win was the one he didn't fight. He won every single battle he fought. That sounds like my story. I've heard that story before. It's mine. And the day God showed me that David won every battle, I said, whoa, there is nothing I attempt that will fail. That's why, let me tell you guys something. See this, anything we want to do in this church, just go and mark it. It has happened. I know it has, I've never lost a battle. I saw that in David. He won every battle he fought. I said, wow. He just had one secret. Before he goes, he just asked, shall I pursue? Shall I? Is it, I should go. There is no, let me tell you, there is nothing you attempt that will fail. Eternal life ensures that. I'm already running ahead of myself. Nothing you attempt will fail. No business you attempt will fail. Once I've entered the race, just know the winner is already clear. Unless once I enter the race, the winner has been, don't worry, I'm there. Look at David again. Fought 60 something battles, won every one of them. Problem is, never injured. Not injured. The last one he went for, it was his guys that told him, please don't go again. Just can start home. And do you know, David fought battles from outside, even fought battles from inside. His own children rose against him, Adonijah rose against him. All of them rose against him. They couldn't still take him out. In fact, when it has to do with his own family, how many of you are here during Jesse's last song? He never fought his family.
didn't fight his children. No matter what, he didn't fight them. But they couldn't see take him out. He understood how to steward the eternal life. Have your seat, please. He shall keep me. Message said, you will walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. And that's my story. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So you look at David, I'm auditioning David. Look at the Israelites. Look at Goshen. You know that Goshen story? How in the land of Egypt, there were different plagues, different sicknesses. But those guys at Goshen were not touched. Now, people build places that call it Goshen. It's a sweet name. But there was nothing actually special about Goshen. The only thing special was because the Israelites were staying there. That was the thing. So, you can imagine, sicknesses will travel, get to that boundary, and stop. Have you ever thought about that? You leave the gate, everybody's suffering one kind of sickness. You enter the gate, everybody's fine. One night, every first child died of animals and of human beings in Egypt. You enter Goshen, everybody's fine, sleeping peacefully. So why do you think it is strange that everybody can be passing through the same thing and saints are preserved? There is something working in you. Some of you that are sick in this place, use these wounds to contend for it. Contend for your healing. You should actually be getting offended at the sickness. Are you getting angry? Because there is so much. What is this stupid stuff doing in my body? Do you remember how we started yesterday? Your body is important. Do you remember that? It's important to God. This body. Because this body belongs to God too. Not your spirit. Your spirit belongs to God, but this body too. So, were you here yesterday? So God even owns this body. Not only your spirit. So what is malaria doing inside? So that your eye that they say it is eye problem, God owns the eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So they were preserved. Psalm 27. I'm just showing you things. You know, I'm still on one point. And that point is, you have to know this truth. Eat it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Door and host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. Let us David talking. Though war should rise against me. You can imagine that. Because in so many wars. So we are looking for what secret of David. Why was he fighting and not dying? This is telling you why. What have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Why? For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will say praise unto the Lord. That was the secret. He knew God would preserve him. And I want you to know. That's why I want to bring you to this meeting. I want you to know. I want you to know that the life of God preserves. It preserves. You've read about the Israelites, right? Psalm 105. Let me just do that and move to the next point. Psalm 105, verse 12. Let me just show you that. It's important I show you. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. So he was saying, the Israelites moved from nation to nation. Nobody could hurt them. He said he removed kings for their sake. Now, what happened in verse 15? Read to me, everybody. Saying, and
So this touch number, is it about men of God or about the Israelites? Israelites, not men of God. So you can also use touch number anointed. This was what God told kings. Look at verse 14. He reproved kings and warned the kings. Touch not my anointed. Do this once, my prophets, no harm. Because the Lord saw all of them. He said, what do you mean by anointed? Anointed. Anointed. That's consecrated people, specially set apart. If you remember that? Anointed. He said, don't touch them. Do them no harm. He said, we use it for men of God. He said, touch my anointed. Of course, a man of God is specially anointed. Truth. But all believers are anointed. Because that statement was not used for Moses. It was used for the entire Israel. God told the kings, don't touch these ones. And nobody could harm them. So they stayed through that wilderness. With all the dangers you could think of in the wilderness, none came near them. The only times they ever suffered anything was when they stepped out of that. Every time they stepped out of that covenant, they get into trouble. But once they were within that covenant, nothing happened to them for 40 years. Now you can't beat that. For 40 years. Verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among the tribes. Not one was sick. Not one. I want this to enter. Not one feeble person. Are you aware that Jesus, there is no recorded case of Jesus laying hands on his disciples to pray for them to get healed? The only thing close to that was him praying for Peter's mother-in-law. God is bringing you to somewhere. We are on a journey. There are things you know. He said, not one feeble person among their tribes. Not one. Let's play with the verse. Give me other translations. Like NLT said, not one among the tribe of Israel even stumbled. Amplified said, not one feeble person. Message Bible, not one among his tribes even stumbled. In a translation, but let me read because of our time. Let me read Passion to you. Verse 37. He said, not even one was feeble. Not one stumbled. FGNT said, all of them, we are healthy and strong. All we are healthy and strong. So think of the crowd that left Egypt. Estimated close to 3 million people. Over 700,000 men. Yes, that's what the Bible actually recorded. So when we say 3 million, that was okay. The Bible didn't actually say 3 million. Right? But then, we have the data. There were over 700,000 men. Like, men is men who are men, like married men. Over 700,000 left Egypt. Think of the youths. Think of the women. Think of the children. That's how come about that. I get what I'm saying. And yet, not one person was sick. The only times we see them get into trouble was when they sinned against the Lord and snakes begin to bite them. You know that story? That's the only time. They were just fine. That in itself is a miracle. I'm telling you. It was later in this chapter that he said, even their sandals did not outgrow their leg. The sandals grew with them. We yet do not know the extent eternal life can go. Like their sandals, like shoe now. Because think of children that were 2 and 3. They would have needed to change their sandals. But as they were growing, the life of God. We're carrying this. God used them as an example. They are just the church. Just an example of what he was going to do. Do you know why Israel was preferred above every other nation? They were a type of the church. What God did with Israel among the nations is what he wants them to do with the church among the nations. So we are the preferred. That's why today, there is nothing like Israel. Israel is still a nation existing. But there is no special preference of God upon Israel as a nation. Hate me, like me, is fine.
I love Israel as a nation, but there's no special preference of God upon them. Paul said, we are today, we are the Israel of God now. Why? Not because God hates Israel. God, Bible tells us that with the coming of Jesus, he ended the enmity between Jews and Gentiles. He brought that unity. So there's no more Jew, there's no more Gentile. So everyone that believes in Jesus is now the Israel of God. So all those things God used them to set is what went by our experience now. That we can walk through this earth and not one feeble person in our midst. So I don't care the genotype you are born with. I don't care the disease you are born with. The day you came into Jesus, eternal life got installed inside of you. And if you can let it, it will dominate this your senses. It will take hold of your mind. It will change your blood. Change your blood. A few of my people here have been diagnosed of very terrible sicknesses. They say, this one has 1 year, 2 years to live. I tell you, under God, I have never imagined their burial. Up until they got here, I have never. Even the ones they said I had most to live, it has never crossed my mind. What if? What if not? It has never. I'm telling you sincerely. I trust this life of God so much. It has never crossed my mind. What if something now happens? Never. I was telling them when we had Doxa last month. I was telling them, I said, I strongly believe, not just what I believe, I've seen it play out, that the life of God, I'm going to get to this point, because as a part of this teaching, what I'm going to talk to you about, let's leave it when we get there. The life of God can actually improve people's IQ. You know, this thing I'm telling you, I think it just stays by moonlight. If you have a child or a younger one who is dull academically, who is dull with picking up things, get that child born again. Keep exposing him to these things. I'm going to give you 1 year. The result, it will be so different. I've told him many times. Let me tell you how I got to know. If I even saw it in the Bible. You know how I started ministry, right? I started ministry among secondary school students. And we're seeing real life cases. You meet them, they'll tell you, sir, what's your problem? Have you ever done counseling among students? Those guys are very sincere. I'm not intelligent. And you think that joking. You say, can you talk like this? I'm not intelligent. Do you read? Yes. Let me see your results. And sometimes very embarrassing results. As one result we saw one time. Everything was F. And the girl was not bothered. He was not bothered. But she told my parents, I shouted out because of my results. I said, our results. What was it? Bring it, let me see. Jesus. And she wasn't bothered. So me, I started shouting. I'm not the type that believe in shouting at students when the result is not good. I don't believe in it. Why? Well, if the result is not good, it's not good already. So sometimes I believe people are already feeling bad that the result is bad, you know. The only time I'm going to shout at you is when it's now time to read and you are not reading. I'll now remind you. Do you understand? But this particular one, I had to shout. Because she was not bothered. Just give it to me. See, that's my result. She was playing. So me, I picked offense. We're in church then. Do you remember what I'm talking about? We're in church that day. One even after Wednesday prayer, I was angry. I said, look at the rest you brought home. You should be crying and mourning. About it. But just be coming. From some of them, from not knowing how to read. I mean, we met people just three. They can't read. They can't spell. I'm telling you. You know, when some is God rewarding some of us, he reward us big old. Because we've done things for people. Can't read, can't spell. So how have we passed in JS1 and JS2? They just pass. You know, some of these schools that they just pass people. Just all of you just be going. Oh, but just be coming. We keep teaching. I didn't realize, I didn't even know this thing I'm telling you now. Then I didn't know. You know that I observed that all of them, after like a few months or so, 1 year or 2 years, they will pick up. It was not that the Lord said, have you not paid attention to this thing happening? And I read it in a Kenneth Hagin's book. Told one story of one girl.
She was about 14 or so. Very funny story. But she was very dull. Like it's not like academically dull, just dull with life. She was 14. She was playing like a 2-year-old child. I mean, they can be having service. That's the story he told. They can be having service and you see the girl. She begin to crawl under the seats. 14-year-old. Crawl and appear in front. Yeah! Where service is ongoing? You can imagine such a poorly developed child. See, imagine you are the parents. You just sit down and just see like, what did I born? And when Aggie said he was a pastor, I just looked at the girl. Then one day, he was preaching and he made an altar call. And that girl came for the altar call. Received Jesus into her heart. And that was all he knew. After some time, he left the church. Said some years after, he was somewhere ministering. This girl came. Said, don't you remember me? He said, no, I don't. Say, you do. He said, you don't. He said, actually, no, just that you don't believe it's me. Introduced herself. He said, he was shocked. He said, what happened to you? He said, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I began to learn the word. And I began to pray. And the very say, properly looking girl, and I've seen this happen many times. The boundaries of this life, we don't even know how far. So, you have a sickness in your body. The life of God, Bible tells us, it will quicken your mortal bodies. It will revitalize your mortal body. It will rejuvenate it. It will give it. It will put it back in order. So Ezekiel stood before dry bones, and the Lord said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" He said, "Lord, thou knowest." He said, "Speak to the bones. That will take me to the next thing that we've been talking about. You must learn these tools and meditate and speak them again." Don't you see David's life? He was talking throughout the book of Psalm. These things you know, you must talk. I spoke about confession last week and speaking about it today. I will still speak about it next week. You can't. You must know these things and begin to talk them. Son of man, shall these bones live? Say, Lord, thou know it. Says, prophesy to the dry bone. So Ezekiel used his mouth to speak dry bones until, speak to them. That's Ezekiel 37. Spoke to them until they came together. Flesh entered them. Breath entered them. They got up and began to move around with words. Have you ever thought about that? With words. So, you know, these are many bones in a place. Many bones of different people. And he spoke. He kept speaking. So, if it is five people, each bones had a way to identify their fellow bone. I guess you get what I'm saying now. They found their ways to their fellow different bones, joined together. The bone that was to be at the hand did not go to the leg. It knew where to be. What you are guiding it. That's why the Bible says that the power of life and say life and death rather are in the power of the tongue. And I used to quote this scripture wrongly. Lord corrected me about that. The power of life and death is in the tongue. That's what the Bible said. He said life and death are in the power of the tongue. He said there's a difference. The power of life and death is not in the tongue. It's not like tongue. No. Life and death itself. Is it the power of the tongue? It's not just the power. Life and death. And the power of the tongue. Dead that love you shall eat the fruit thereof. So what are you saying? Do you have talking sessions? Talking sessions. Where you sit down and begin to speak God's word over your health. Over your life. Last week we talked about confession. How that you should speak what God has done for you. I'm saying it again today. What are you saying over your health? What are you saying over preservation? Or you're one of those people that used to say, oh, my own has finished. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. 1 Peter 3 verse 10, he said, he that will love life. Give me that verse. 1 Peter 3 verse 10. Thank you, Lord. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. There are things that you will be saying, you will not live long. There are no two ways about it. You know, it looks so simple, these things we say. But you better believe them. Because some of you are trusting in medication, they're trusting in, I'll be fine. You better believe what I'm saying.
Because medication can fail. Medication can fail. So imagine someone that takes, learns this truth of God's word and keeps saying them. I've been redeemed. And there's no room for sickness in me. The life of God is working in me. He revitalizes. You just keep saying it. But you learn the word. You keep saying it. All this we've read. Because that's Moses. That's David's secret. What we call Psalm. We are the things David was saying and singing that he now put down for us. So if you are reading what David used to say and sing. So he said them and sang them so much. That's what I'm going to say to you. Hello, Christian, not just in platform of grace. Mind the kind of songs you sing. Even the kind of songs you sing as Christian songs. All these songs that make us beggarly as Christians. I get to the point. You're not meant to be begging for things. You need to know what God has done for you and take it. I get what I'm saying. Mind what you sing. And to think of some are not just beggars, some are even off point. An off point song. Many songs that don't have any, that don't edify. What do you sing? What do you put in your mouth when you're singing? That's why when you come here, when you hear us sing some songs, don't just stand and say, ah, this song, church, they need to sing songs that we don't know. That's why you can know it. Learn it. So you have what to sing at home. Because if you keep singing, it's those songs you've been singing since you were born. Your life is still like this. Sing this one we are singing. I get what I'm saying now. You've got to sing these things. You speak life. You speak life. Know the right things to say. Proverbs 13 verse 3. Proverbs 13 verse 3. He said, he that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. There is a lot. You know, Jesus said to them, talking about the day of judgment, he told them that in the day of judgment, that one of the major things that will be used to judge you will be what you said. And it's very important because it could be any day. Let me show you that. Matthew 12 to 34. It could be any day. The day of judgment, you know, it might be any day. It's not a generation of vipers. How can he, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. We were talking about meditation last time, right? She was telling them, whatever you meditate on is what you are going to say. Continue. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Verse 36. He said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Every nonsense you say. Read 37. 37. For by thy words, that shall be justified. And by thy words, that shall be condemned. Day of judgment, you know, if I can take that, if I can put a principle around that, it could be the day you are standing before death. The day you are standing before cancer. You'll be justified or condemned by what you say and what you've been saying. Go to verse 36. Give me Amplified Classic of that verse. Everybody please look at that. Are you ready? Let's do it together. On the judgment, the judgment, men will have to give accounts of every idle, inoperative, and non-working word they speak. There are non-working words that will speak. Inoperative words. I feel what I'm saying. Okwenwedi, she like stupid talk that we talk. My life is about to end. My one mimo. This country, to get job now by connection. Then after you say, now how can you be saying that when you know you don't know anybody? You don't know by that statement you made. You already said you will never get job. Because you already, I get it, but you already made a statement that it is by connection, and you and I know you are not connected to anybody. Inoperative, non-working word. Leave this in the once your kidney fail, nothing. It's over. Kidney is the highest. That's why I take care of myself, because I don't want my kidney to fail.
inoperative, non-working, empty dog. That any day your kidney fails is over for you. How about saying the life of God is working in me? And it's affecting every part of my organs. Keeping it at 100%. The older it gets, the stronger I become. For the Lord renews my youth like the eagle. How about saying that? That my kidney is not getting weaker as I'm getting older. It's getting stronger. I want to talk to somebody. There's someone I'm talking to. Before you got saved, before now, you took in a lot of things in your body. Chemicals, drugs, alcohol and all of that. And they've told you those things can damage people's heart, damage people's kidney. And you are living in fear. Even though you've stopped drinking, you've stopped taking in those substances, but you're still living in fear. What if I've damaged something in my body? Hear what I'm going to tell you. Stop thinking about what has happened. Thank God you've repented. You moved on from it. Now, put God's word on your lips. Eternal life can repair broken parts. Every inoperative, non-working word they speak. Give me verse 37. Just the next verse. Give me Amplify Classic, please. Where we are. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted. By your words you will be condemned and sentenced. So someone will be sentenced to death because of what they said. Go to 36. Give me a message. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. Are you guys what I'm saying? It's going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. That's the Bible. It's coming back. All this empty talk. That's why there is a way eternal life talks. That's why Paul told them, you are still living as mere men. Talking like mere men. Talking like an ordinary person. How does eternal life talk? How does he talk? How does he think? You talk like you're a dead man. You talk like nothing is working in you. And you expect things to be different. It's by talking that we lean in to take hold of that life that is resident in us. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. So, do you have talking sessions where you just sit down or stand up and begin to speak certain words, not empty words? What are empty words? I tell you, empty words are words that are wrong, but not only that, any word that is not the word of God is empty. So even when you start saying, all I know is that I will blow, that's still empty. Words that have power to create are words inspired by the Spirit of God. Words you find in His Word. The Spirit of God is working. If the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in your body, he shall quicken your mortal body. Therefore, because I carry the life of God and the Spirit of God in me, every part of my body is being quickened, is coming alive, is being renewed, is being restored. He said he restores my youth like that of the eagle. Therefore, my youth is being restored. My eyesight is sharp. It's being restored. My ear is being restored. My organs are sharp, functioning to the full capacity that God created them to function. God's word. You do that. Some of you have to begin to say, my mind is sharp. Some of you, it's like you're losing your mind. That's not for the new creation. You're not losing your mind. You're 30 already saying, I forget this a lot. Sometimes I just forget. No. I have a sound mind. Just forget. I don't used to remember things. You know, it's just me. So when you are now 80, you will forget your name. Your children will come and say, what's her name? You know, the problem is that I'm trying to show something. If an older person, and it's not bad, I celebrate old people. If another person sees a child and mistakes, they say, unka, old age, mama, boroya, unka. Well, it's fine. But you must begin to think differently. That you can get to that point and your memory is still sharp. Because think about it. The reason God keeps us alive is for His assignment.
If we are alive, I can no longer remember anything. Then there's no point living. Let's die. You get what I'm saying now? That's why I'm not talking about being alive and lying down on the sickbed. Why are you now alive? We are alive for the assignment. So if we can no longer carry out the assignment, then let's go. Verse 37. It says, I'm coming back. Say, what can be your salvation? What can also be your damnation? We'll speak God's word. So you notice what message did? Verse 36. Message said there is a day of reckoning coming. So he didn't just pin it to the day of judgment, like final day. That day of reckoning can be any day. I get what I'm saying? It can be any day. When life is staring at you, what are you going to say that day? What have you been saying? Because your words will come. And the day of reckoning is coming. So what are you saying? Please have your seat so that we can close in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. What are you saying? Is it 5? Okay, 6 minutes. Praise God. So what I say? Do you know why the Israelites died in the wilderness? After they went to survey the land of Canaan. Somebody said, well, it was unbelief. Yes, it was unbelief. But what caused that unbelief? What caused that death? It was unbelief. Not just unbelief in their heart, but unbelief that they spoke. Because Numbers 40 verse 28, the Lord told them that what you've said in my hearing, he said, I will do it. He said, son to them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Yes. What did they say when they came back? That land is too great for us. We cannot enter it. We saw the children of Anak. They would destroy us. We are like grasshoppers. God said, okay, what you have spoken will happen. And it wasn't God cursing them. It's just the principle, how it works here. All of them that said they couldn't enter, didn't enter. Joshua and Caleb that said they could enter, they entered. So you notice we have so much in us. We should just begin to talk much more. So have your talking sessions. And I'm teaching you this thing now. Begin to practice from these days of light. Begin to practice it. Just have time where you just speak God's word. Pray. Speak those inspired words. Not begging. I'm not talking about begging. No. God, please heal me in Jesus. No. The life of God is working in me. Healing is working in my body. And the life of God is removing every sickness, expunging every sickness in my system, bringing my body to full performance. 100%. Just keep saying that. Keep saying that. Keep saying that. My eyesight is functioning. So what are you saying? As you speak these words, one of the things that will happen, because notice I said you meditate and you speak. You know, I skip that meditation because I believe I've dealt with it already. But meditate. All this is I've said to you. Look at the point. Because I'm talking about speaking, then meditation, same thing. But look at the point. There are people that quote a lot of scriptures, but it's not working in their life. The reason is because the scriptures they are quoting is in their head. Anybody can memorize scripture. You can have your exam and memorize. It's their head. It's not in their heart. It is scriptures in your heart that will change you, not the one in your head. And how do you take it to your heart? Meditation. You've heard these things. Go home. Remember the process of meditation. Do you remember? Ponder, mutter, roa. So roari, which is confession, is the last part of meditation. So what I'm trying to say, if you go home, take God's word, put it on your heart. These things you've heard, chew them. Just like a goat will lie down and begin to regurgitate. Chew them, pull it through. Chew them again and again until, turn them over your heart again. These wonderful realities. Put the scripture on your heart. When they are done, mutter it. Then have time to roar it. Say it to yourself. Say it to yourself. Say it to yourself. Say, I'm just so depressed. Things are not working. I'm losing my mind. Look for an empty space. Look for a place where you can be alone. And begin to scream.
Begin to scream. Begin to shout God's word. Begin to speak God's word. But listen, don't wait for things to get bad. Let it be your current, your everyday lifestyle. You saw that scripture we read? On the day of reckoning, this is the words you've been saying that will be needed, not what you want to start saying immediately. So don't wait for you to fall sick. You now say, oh, I'm getting healed in Jesus' name. No. Have your daily confession. Health is working in me. So when you see me all the time, tell you, I'm not going to die young. I'm going to live strong. I am speaking the word. I am speaking knowing that eternal life in me can preserve me. So when I'm speaking those words, I'm only cooperating with the life that is working in me. I live strong. I live long. I live strong with nothing wrong. It's not just what we say. You should be able to say it until it enters you. I will live long. I will live strong with nothing wrong. You know that kind of life is possible. Live long. Live strong. Nothing wrong. And it's not just a prayer. Begin to pray. Jesus, I receive wrong. Lord, help me to live long. No. No, sir. Speak it. What makes that long life possible is already installed in you. Use your words to cooperate with it. That's why you have to let these words you've heard today enter your spirit. Then begin to talk. Whenever you notice that there is a fear, I just said this from the Holy Ghost, there is a fear that rises in your heart, and I'm seeing it, you are not there yet. It's something that's going to happen in your future. You are not there yet, but then you're already afraid. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For instance, a woman, you're not even married. You're already afraid of childbirth. You're already afraid of, I'm not sure I can do this push thing. And I've heard people die during childbirth. You see, whenever those fears begin to rise, begin to fight it now with your words. There shall be no barren woman in the land. And none shall cast her young. There shall be no miscarriages. Begin to say those things. Amen. Speak the word. On that day of reckoning, which is the day you are now in the hospital, are you following me? All those words you've spoken will come up that day. Right there before you. Because the reason that fear is in your heart, because that is actually something the devil is trying to do. So he's trying to launch fear first. To send fear ahead of him. But you should be smart. You see, you remember what Goliath did to them? For 40, and that's how Satan works. For 40 days, day and night, Goliath was talking to these people. Talking down their confidence. That's what the devil does. Sometimes you're going to give birth in 7 years' time. You're not even married. But 7 years before, he's already dropping thoughts of fear in your heart. So that by the time you get that day, you are defeated. Don't fall for that. Let you speak ahead. And speak consistently. Do you remember Matthew 28 verse 5? The women came to see Jesus at the tomb. And that angel said, you came to seek Jesus who was there. Look at that. The angel answered and said unto them, fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. Verse 6. He is not here. He is risen as he said. So Jesus rose because he said he will rise. Now what raised Jesus up according to Romans 8 verse 11? The spirit of God. That same spirit that raised us from the dead. Are you getting the point? But his words cooperated with the spirit. I get to the point. He is not here. He is risen as he said. So it's not when Jesus was on the cross that he was telling them on the cross, you people are about to kill me. I will rise in Jesus' name. I will rise in Jesus' name. I will rise. Imagine Jesus saying, I will rise on the cross. They flog him once. I will rise in Jesus. That wasn't where he was talking. He's been in his confession all the while. Even in his teachings, he would tell them, tear down this temple. After 3 days, I will raise it. He was telling them. In fact, the Bible said it was when he died and rose that the disciples remembered everything he was saying. Because he has been talking about it. So on that day, the angel said he is risen. As he said. What he was telling them, what he said has finally happened. You can speak preservation. So when I spoke earlier that my type, I don't die by accident. People said, don't talk like that. You know, nobody knows. That's the point. The day an accident will come, I will be justified or condemned by these words I've spoken. Do you understand what I'm talking about now?
Yes.
And it's better I talk like that
Because I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I travel a lot. Always on the road. See, if you're a pastor, you don't take confessions of preservation seriously. You want to go and risk your life. Because Satan doesn't like you. Are you aware? If you're here, Satan doesn't like you. So we speak for those words. The Lord is keeping us safe. Gunshots will not kill me. Cannot kill me. You say, Pastor. Why not say by the grace of God? By what grace am I saying this thing before? Is it by your grace? Because most of the other things we add is just, you know, religion has some grammar, has jargons. We just cover it by the grace of God. Sometimes people say those things because they're not sure. It's doubt. I'm not saying you shouldn't say it. I'm just saying. Just like that, another way they use by the grace of God, I know the person is lying. He said, will you be in church tomorrow? By the grace of God. He knows he's not coming. So I don't mean to tell you directly, I'm not going to come. He'll say, by the grace of God. So I say, well, God, leave grace. Are you coming or not? Tell me. And I've seen God willing. I meant that one. Are you coming or not? God has willed. Okay, come to church. So are you going to live long or not? Who knows how long God wants us to live? He's on God. I'll close this way. The devil is not like God. You see, God is a very proper person. He's orderly. You open the door, he comes in. Right? You speak the right words, he okays it. If you don't accept him, he talks to you. He sends his people to talk to you. That is God. That's not devil. The devil is a trespasser. He doesn't do, if you don't invite me, I will leave you alone. No, it's when you don't invite him that even likes to come. So once you do, only God knows how long we will live now. You see that he likes that kind of game. He will come and kill you at 28. And tell you that it's God that wanted it that way. He doesn't respect his boundaries. That's why you must give him the boundaries. You must. Don't think, if I don't talk, somebody's going to ask, what if I'm not talking at all? I don't say good. I don't say bad. I just did. What do you think the devil is? Born again devil. He goes to where he's not invited. He enters everywhere. I get any point. He tries. Bible said he's seeking who he made therefore. He just walks looking for. What am I going to do? So he says, I'm just going to say, I'm not saying anything. I'm not like that. So I've spoken myself back to health. And I walk in some dangerous health and preservation that will shock many of you. I can go. Amen. You know, my first time of ever sleeping in a hospital was when my son was born. My first time ever. Ever slept in a hospital. It will shock you that I'm changing. Never going to see a doctor over anything. Apart from when I had that injury I told you, and I didn't sleep there. He just carried me to the place. He said, we have to keep you and watch you. I said, none of his bones shall be broken. He said, I know. Amen. No, I said, none of his bones shall be broken. I got up. None of his bones shall be broken. Are you following what I'm saying? I was limping. None of his bones shall be broken. He said, come for Jacob. I said, tomorrow. I didn't come. Now, don't be like me, yo. So why didn't you come by the next day? It was fine. No, Archbishop Benson, I didn't tell you guys that story. He came, he said he finished preaching one day. Laid down, woke up. Leg couldn't move. Couldn't move. He was trying. He was stressed and everything. And he felt he was getting paralyzed. Like Archbishop. So the thing happened to a point. He got angry.
He just said, well, guess the statement. I'm going to church. You legs, meet me in church. He got up. I'm going to church. Legs, meet me in church. And the legs came along. I'm not talking about a beggarly life. Are you got what I'm saying? But I'm saying, God, I beg. See, I'm preaching. It's not your work I went to. You're not allowing my legs to paralyze. Legs, meet me in church. I say, how can I be talking? Is he not his legs? He's not. This is the container. So the spirit told the leg. The real owner told the leg what to do. And he got up. I have many stories like that. So when he said, none of his bones have been broken. I just limped like that. Got home. As I lay down, none of his bones have been broken. None of his bones have broken. I slept, woke up. None of his bones have been broken. None of his, then, you know, see, I still, if you open my leg, you still see it. It was deep. Doctor said, I think your bones have been affected. I said, none of his bones have been broken. Yes. And it was totally restored. And I'm just testing other things. Because, you know, we don't know where God is taking us to tomorrow. We might be sent to do missions in a community infested by dangerous sicknesses. Are you what I'm talking about? Are you going to run away because you get in there? The Lord preserves me. You do your ministry, do your preaching, get them saved, get them healed. Before you leave the community, end the plague and leave. Yes. End it and leave. But you're not thinking like that. You only say, hey, this one. That's... Let me tell you. Many Nigerians need to know, and I'm going to close with that now. Many Nigerians need to know that the Lord is our preservation. I've said it before. Nigerian medical system cannot save anybody. With due respect to the doctors and nurses and pharmacists that are here. But people cannot help many people. Not because you guys are not good. Our Nigerian people are very good. If you see them abroad, they excel. But the system here is a blessed system. Better content for long life. And for safety. A doctor told me how he was to take care of children in incubators. You know, during that session. He said the problem is that he had worked all day. And now he was the only person to take care of those children, over 20 or 25 kids in incubator. And there was no light. So he was going to use his phone torchlight to, like what I'm saying, to come and inject them at intervals at night. So imagine a woman has kept her child there saying, doctors are doing their job. Because they're really doing their job. Why is only one person working that night? I said, so who was meant to work with you? Because share the testimony with me, a big testimony. Who was meant to work with you that day? He said, they were bigger than him at the point. So all of them abandoned the team for him and left him there. He said, one of those, he gave a child the wrong thing. He said, he didn't know. He was feeling sleepy. He was tired. You know, I think they inject those kids at intervals. Abi? At intervals. Just, wow. He said, finally, I gave a child wrong. The child was already... He said he knelt down. He said, God. Because if the child dies, nobody's going to know. Because you can just come there the next day. Children have died. You know, there are no guarantees there. He said, but he couldn't live with the guilt. So he said he prayed in tongues until that child was resuscitated. Yes. Thank God he's a believer. Are you know what I'm talking about, friends? But if it's another person that said, oh, what's my own? What's my own? Trust the Lord. He can keep you safe. Will you take medication? Take it, but never rely on it. Never rely on it. Are you not out there every day? The next time they say that this particular, do you know how many, do you know there are more fake drugs in the market than the, I just said, let me inform you. So many Nigerians need to know that God has been our preservation. And I wish they can be aware of that. Because when you are aware of it, it will work more. It was God that preserved us during COVID. I saw the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life during COVID. Where somebody, let's say we should use nose mask. Eh? Somebody went to the hospital. They said, you cannot enter, you don't have nose mask. He said, I don't have. So the guest man said, borrow this one. Bring 15, I'm not joking. So he borrowed nose mask, wore it, came back, dropped it for the next person to borrow. God is our safety, leave that. I've never seen that type. So I said, what's that the point? I thought we already know nose mask so that we will not catch disease. He said, just borrow, wait and enter. When you come out. And people like that will still say, it's because of nose mask that were preserved. Who told you? Do you know who wore the last one you are wearing? But thank God for God. Thank God for safety. You will live long. You will live strong. Let's get on our feet, everybody. Hallelujah. God is preserving us. His life is working in us. Take a few minutes. Begin to say, the life of God is working in me. No sickness stands in my body. I walk in health. I walk in power. Life is working in me. God's spirit is working in me. Eternal life is working in me. Immortality is working in me. It's revitalizing my body. It's revitalizing my body. It's repairing damaged organs. It's repairing damaged body parts. It is replacing damaged body parts. The life of God keeps me fresh. Keeps me young. Keeps me renewed. Keeps me alive. I'm full of life. I live in full health. By the hand of the Lord, He renews my youth like that of an eagle. I grow from strength to strength. I grow from strength to strength. I'm an immortal man. That immortality is affecting my body, affecting my organs, keeping me in perfect health. I'm full of life. Yes, 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 yes. I'm full of life. I'm full of life. Whatever report you've received, whatever sickness in your body right now, the life of God is surging through, waking you up, filling you up again, restoring your body. Lift your hands and just pray. Pray. Have 5 minutes. Don't joke with any opportunity to speak the word of God. Don't joke with any opportunity to speak God's word. Don't joke with any opportunity. Life is working in me. My body is working in full capacity that God created it to function. Full capacity. Full capacity that God created it to function. Full capacity. Full capacity. Full capacity. Full capacity. Meshan Grondoski Pratianda Rebedigim Predigi Predigi Predigishka to Brande Skuda. Hey, Andy Scoobe, Shime in the Viando School, India. Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. You shall not die like others. Your life will not be wasted like others. Speak life. Put it on your lips. Put it on your lips. Your life is working in me. My organs are functioning in the full capacity that God created them to function. My youth is renewed like the eagle. Manda shande rokotuza. There are lumps. There is a lady here that has lumps in her breast. Those lumps are disappearing now. Growth. I see growth in body parts disappearing now. I see the power of God cutting them off. Cutting them off. Some of you, God is bringing you to light and revelation. Ayayaya, Randy Shodiaka, Sazida and Gobash. Your life is working in me. Your life is working in me. Your life is working in me. Oh, yes. I have Zoe. I have Zoe. The life of God inside of me. I have the way. I have the way. The life of God is what I have. I have the way. 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 The life of God is what I have.
I have the way.
I have the way.
Come on.
I have the way.
The Spirit of God, come on.
The Spirit of God
is inside of me.
Is inside of me.
I have the way.
I should say this before I leave the stage. Tomorrow I may have time to minister to you, but that's what I should say. There are people here, you've lost people in your home through a certain kind of sickness, and it has repeated. You can count three, four people. It is the same kind of sickness that took their lives, and somehow you are afraid. Tomorrow we're going to challenge those things by eternal life. challenge them. Some of you have a repetitive pattern of a certain thing going on in your home. Certain kind of sickness. They say it's hereditary. They say it's genetic. Not only will God heal you, the life of God will change that gene. That gene. That your kids will not have it. That's what I'm saying. It will be cut off. It will be cut off. Even your kids will not have it. I know my time is spent, but sorry. If you're in that category, please come. I just sense the Lord. Send a minister to them. I just sense the grace, the anointing here already. Something going around a particular system and the family. The Lord is calling that enough. Sorry, I know my time is spent. Even if you're in another center, we can just sense that grace, that flow. In another center, come up. We're going to call it off. It's ending with you. You're not coming here to beg. Come here, take authority. Take authority. Don't beg. Take authority. End that in. That thing that's been killing people, that's been taking people, that's been running in the bloodline, that thing will bring an end to it. It has happened to Mr. A, Mr. B. Some of it's not even happening to you yet, but somehow you're expecting it because it has happened to everybody. If that thing is your system, we are ending it now. We are ending it now. We are ending it now. The power of God is so strong here. I can literally feel the power of God running through my hand. We are ending that thing. That life, that spirit of God. Manda shanda bakombe sopenda kataya. Shakata barakatinga poskumenda kiada. I will just agree with what you have said. The life of God is surging through this place. That system, that pattern is coming to an end. Online and all grade across all the centers. That pattern is being broken off. Is being broken off. We bring it to an end in the name of Jesus. We bring it to an end. We bring it to an end in the name of Jesus. We bring it to an end. We bring it to an end. We bring it to an end in the name of Jesus. We bring it to an end. We bring it to an end. We bring it. We bring it to an end now. We bring it to an end. We say it's over now. We bring it to an end. We bring it to an end. Mandalabaya. We bring it to an end now. We bring it and we end that cycle. Bring her. We end that cycle. We bring it to an end. We end that cycle. We bring it to an end. We bring it to an end. We bring it to an end. We put an end to it. 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 We put an end to that cycle. It's over. It's ending in you and it's ending with you. We bring it to an end. We bring it to an end. Not again. Not again. We bring it to an end. It's done. Yes. We bring that cycle to an end. It's ending with you. And it's ending in you. We bring it to an end. The life of God is working. Yes. Sickle cell anemia is disappearing here. Hey! Life is working. 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 It's cutting out every death. 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 Life is working.
Broken parts are being restored. Lazy parts are being restored. Droughts are disappearing. The life of God is surging through. It's surging through. It's surging through. It's surging through. Every dead part, every damaged part, come alive. Come alive. Thou power of God, in the name of Jesus, move through this place. Heart-related diseases are disappearing. Heart-related diseases are disappearing. Heart diseases are disappearing. 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 Yes. Yes. It's disappearing in this place. Heart-related diseases are disappearing in this place. Yes, 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 yes. In this place, it's disappearing. It's disappearing. Mandala Bashandaya. Heart issues are being solved. Life is working now. Life is working now. Broken bones are being fixed. I hear the cracking of bones. I hear the cracking of bones. Broken bones are being repaired. I hear the cracking of bones. I hear the cracking of bones. I hear the cracking. The cracking of bones. Broken bones are being repaired. They're being restored. Yes, they're being restored. That be restored. That be restored. That be restored. Broken bones. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. Eternal life is fixing it. Immortality is fixing it. Immortality is fixing it. Immortality is fixing it. Yes, you just got a major healing now. A major healing just ran through your system. Immortality is fixing it. It is fixing it. It is fixing it. In Jesus' name. The Lord said, I should say before I leave, let there be no fear. Some of you don't have any sickness, but there is fear that it could develop because you've seen symptoms. We got that enough from the point of symptoms. It's not going to happen. Life is working now. Do you want to say that? Life is working now. Life is working now. Take 1 minute and pray before we close. Just take 1 minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just 1 minute.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.